Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987, and also host of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcasts. Just search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts, and you should see both a red logo and a blue logo pop up. Subscribe to both. The red logo features the post-Raw and post-SmackDown shows that I record and distribute free early each week. And the blue logo are my Podcast One shows, the Thursday flagship and Interview Friday. In fact, today's new Interview Friday show is with former WWE creative team member Matt McCarthy, live from LAX as he is on his way to New Orleans for an exciting weekend for him as a wrestling fan now that he's not working in the industry, attending a lot of events. And we preview WrestleMania and also talk about other things that he's excited about this weekend. Yesterday, on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast with Bruce Mitchell, the Thursday flagship, Bruce and I spent nearly an hour and a half previewing WrestleMania 34 in great depth, match for match. So check those out, search Wade Keller, and subscribe to both the red brand and the blue brand. Today, it's the best of PW Torch Livecast for Friday, April 6, 2018. And this is an awesome flashback. This is my interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin 4 years ago, and it is following WrestleMania 30. And he attended WrestleMania 30, and he shares behind-the-scenes observations on Ultimate Warrior and Mr. T. Was Hulk Hogan's whoop-ass line scripted? Also, his thoughts on CM Punk's departure from WWE, Daniel Bryan's hot run, does he endorse Roman Reigns and Cesaro, and much more. If you missed this 4 years ago, you're going to want to listen to this one. And if you didn't miss it, you're going to want to re-listen to this one. Hot topics from the great one, Steve Austin, from 4 years ago. Before we get to Steve Austin, I do want to remind you that this is a great time to go VIP for WrestleMania weekend. We have so many podcasts that are VIP exclusive that we'll be distributing this weekend to VIP members on our podcast feed and on our ad-free VIP website. And the only way you can get on board for those is to sign up. And the good news is we've got a sale. $6.60 off a one-month subscription, which brings it down to $3.40 for WrestleMania 34. See what we did there? So sign up. Go to pwtorch.com/govip and use coupon code 340LIVECAST. That's 340LIVECAST. And when you do that, you will get a one-month subscription for just $3.40. Now, you can also apply that $6.60 discount to a three-month or one-year subscription. That if you want to commit to a longer term, that is up to you, and we certainly encourage you to do that. So go check out details on VIP membership and sign up right now and be on board, including the cap to the weekend, which would be the post-WrestleMania roundtable. Bruce Mitchell and Todd Martin joining me for analysis of the mega show coming up later this weekend. All right, that's 340 Livecast. That's the coupon code at pwtorch.com/govip. The coupon code is for those who have not used a coupon for a discount to a VIP subscription in the last 6 months. So if you have used a coupon code in the last 6 months, please sign up, but do so at the regular rates. Otherwise, go take advantage of it. It's a great deal. $3.40 for a full month. On we go now to this tremendous interview. Over an hour with Steve Austin following WrestleMania 30, which he attended, provides backstage insight, thoughts on Reigns, Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, Mr. T, Ultimate Warrior, and more. Good stuff. Here we go. Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987, and also pwtorch.com since 1999. Also, free apps, PW Torch and MMA Torch. Those are free in the App Store on your phone, iPhone or Android. Just do a search for PW Torch or MMA Torch to download our free apps. And also host of the daily PW Torch Livecast. We have different hosts and co-hosts paired up every day. I am on Tuesdays with Jason Powell from the website prowrestling.net, and I also host on mostly Fridays, but sometimes Thursdays, with our interview format. And this week, Interview Friday shifts to Interview Thursday because we have a guest worth shifting the schedule for, and it is the second appearance on the program,
4, Stone Cold Steve Austin, top WWE wrestler of all time. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, good to be here.
Great to have you back on. We've got to start by talking about the Ultimate Warrior, though. I haven't done a live cast since I found out about his death on Tuesday night. I know you mentioned on your show that we had a chance to talk about Ultimate Warrior the night that it happened. And just a couple days later, you know, it's starting to sink in fully. You know, just what a strange and odd weekend it was. Your thoughts on the timing specifically about Warrior being able to be back in the WWE atmosphere, make amends with some people, or at least have some small talk and get some of that tension worked out that existed with some people he had known a long time, and then just to find out the next day after his appearance on Raw that he was gone. It's so eerie and kind of hard to fully grasp.
Man, I tell you what, yeah, I really didn't know what to think. And you and I talked the other night, and I got the news, got a text from Chris Jericho. Then I saw that voicemail you left me by listening to the voicemail. You and me started talking, and it's like, man, I don't know. It was real strange. You know, I was sitting on the front row right there, you know, pretty close to Hulk Hogan. He was up there, and he carried that towel up there, and he was sweating a lot.
Yeah.
And I kind of watched the promo back he did on Monday Night Raw because I didn't see it live. And I don't know. It just it was almost like he was seemingly predicting his own death. I thought that was kind of what he was alluding to. Man, I just wonder what happened. Everybody is all this speculation, but I'm very interested in seeing what the autopsy says happened to the Warrior. And so yeah. I couldn't believe it, man. Just to come back to the company, and you know, there was a lot of heat there. There ain't no denying that. There's a lot of heat between Warrior and WWE. They come back together. They got big plans. They, you know, gonna, you know, do the Legends thing. He's gonna be a little bit of a spokesman for the company. And then, you know, the night after or the day after Monday Night Raw, he's gone. And I just tell you what, it really made me sad because I wasn't really good friends with Warrior. I just remember back in when I first came to the company around WrestleMania 12. A little bit before then, I'd only been around him a couple times, but he was always very cool to me. Of course, I used to go to the sport tournament and watch him as a Dingo Warrior. I was a big fan. And, you know, so I just heard a lot of stories about him, but he was always real cool to me. And it was just sad to see him go because when he went out there, he looked at his wife and he said, you know, when you and I got together, I got in a little bit of trouble, had some hard times, and you stuck with me, and you look beautiful tonight, and I love you. And he meant that. And then he addressed both of his beautiful daughters and told them the best thing he would ever do the proudest thing he would ever do would be their father. And then, you know, man, all of a sudden he was gone 2 days later. And it really kind of broke my heart.
It did, too. And, you know, I have mixed feelings about – no, I mixed feelings about the word. I think it's really – It's so sad he's gone, and I mean our sympathies and our condolences to his family, especially his daughters, and heck, especially his mom. No parent should have to go to their son or daughter's funeral, and his wife, as you mentioned. I thought it was really touching, and I think it humanized Warrior. He has a deserved controversial reputation. He said some vile and outlandish things on a wide variety of subjects politically, very, very anti-gay, and you know, just things that I think are reason that he is seen by some people as more than controversial. But that said, and also his reputation among his peers. And, you know, it was among the worst. Ted DiBiase, who I respect tremendously, was on this show a year ago and just talked about how difficult it would be to accept him as a Hall of Famer in WWE, and that was before the announcement was made. So all of that said, I'm really glad we got to see that maybe at age 54, there was another side that either he had grown into or always had, you know, in terms of being a family man. And the way his daughters looked at him, Steve, I've seen a lot of politicians march their young kids, preteen kids, onto a stage, and it's uncomfortable. Those two daughters looked at him like he was the center of their universe. And, I mean, I got choked up rewatching that on Tuesday night when I was putting my newsletter together. You're right. The love that his wife had when she blew, like, 8 kisses in a 1.5-second span to Warrior, as he said how much he loved her, that was real. And it hurts more because it humanized him. And he kind of came into our lives again for a few days with the Hall of Fame Mania and Raw. But I feel good that in this tragedy, he got a chance to say how he felt about 4 of the most important people in his life. And not a lot of people who die prematurely get that chance.
Yeah, I mean, his girls were so cute up there. And it was just, I walked you know, they followed Warrior the whole time he was back. He had cameras. Guys were coming up to him. They were doing interviews with him. I talked to Warrior about year and a half ago on the phone, about two times, just calling him about some nutritious stuff and just shooting the breeze.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, I never got a chance to go up and shake his hand and say, hey, congratulations to the Hall of Fame, or just say hi. But his wife stopped me there in the hallway there with his two daughters and introduced herself to me, you know, shook both his daughters' hands and said how cute they looked, and just had about a, you know, one-minute conversation with him that I rode off in the sunset and did my deal. But, hell, I was, you know, upset with myself that I didn't go up to Warrior, I call him Jim, and just shake his hands, hey, man, what's up? And all of a sudden now he's gone. Now, that'll never happen. But to your point, hey, man, you know, I think the love for his mother, his wife, and his two daughters was damn sure real. And, you know, he singled Ted out there. When he called him out about them clotheslines down in Mid-South, it was a little uncomfortable because he put Ted on the spot. And, you know, there was still a little bit of heat going there because he really singled Ted out. But it was what it was. Don't want to, you know, go any further down that path. But, you know, he just had a very interesting relationship with a lot of the guys. And I don't consider myself having a real friendship or kinship with him, but he was always cool to me, and I'm really, really sad to see him gone.
You mentioned a minute ago that you were curious about the autopsy report coming back, and some preliminary reports, and I think his wife reporting to TMZ or eyewitnesses saying he clutched his chest, and reports of being a massive heart attack. If it turns out to be a massive heart attack in that autopsy report, which seems to be more than just speculation at this point, I'll put it that way, how are wrestlers going to react to that in an industry where the vast majority of guys at one point or another, not to the degree in the vast majority of cases of Ultimate Warrior, have used steroids? And the idea that steroids, there's a lot of correlation between years of heavy steroid use and heart conditions, especially with people with pre-existing conditions. Does that scare you as a wrestler? Do you think that's going to scare other wrestlers who have used steroids? How much could Warrior change the way people look at that side of this business that doesn't get talked about a lot?
Man, I want to see the autopsy results. I mean, it could have been something with his heart. They, you know, through any sport, whether it's football, bodybuilding, powerlifting, you know, the track record, I mean, there's a high mortality rate among pro wrestlers, and it's a combination of things. So, you know, along with a lot of hard work, guys, so I don't want to single out steroids. Could they or were they possibly a big part of this? Absolutely. But let's wait to see what the autopsy says. And as far as maybe some lifestyle changes that some guys might need to make, yeah, it could open up a few eyes. No doubt about that. I don't think anybody's going to deny, you know, that Warrior used steroids. But let's see really what the autopsy says before, you know, we really go there.
Yeah. Yep.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I'm Wade Keller, and I urge you to be sure that you're also subscribing to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All you have to do is search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use on your Apple or Android device to subscribe to both feeds. There's a red brand covering Raw and SmackDown every Monday night and Tuesday night, and it's downloadable a couple hours after the show. And then there's also the Wade Keller Podcast Flagship Edition on Thursdays with a rotation of co-hosts, including Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, and others. And then there's our Interview Friday edition. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harlaw talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
Think about like the press conferences and stuff like that. They just, someone tells them like, all right, now it's your turn, go out there, right? I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say that this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
All right. We've got a lot of people who are calling into the show. and we're going to get to some calls. We're not going to get to all calls. He's going to be with us for about an hour, a little bit of a VIP after show after that for VIP members. And we've got some really good email questions on such a wide array of subjects. I do, as Steve does on his show, want to take one moment to bring up our sponsor here on the PW Torch Livecast. Let's go to an email question first. And this is a topical question, Steve, from Tom from Minneapolis. He says, Wade and Steve, I've been a VIP member since your half-off sale last year. I'm mostly an audio subscriber. It's worth it for that alone. Thanks for all your hard work. My question is about the choice to work Daniel Bryan's arm and do an injury angle with it when you know you want him to celebrate the yes chance at the end of the night the next night and that match, I guess. I think Bryan should have sold his arm during the celebration and on Raw the next night. Steve, do you think Bryan should have or should they have worked an injury angle on another body part? Thanks if you use my question. What about that, Steve? It's philosophically an interesting question about how long do you sell an injury that you're making a big deal out of, you know, 1 week or 1 day, and then, you know, follow it up on the next day or the next week?
Man, I didn't pay attention to how bad that arm was hurt, but, you know, you want to sell that injury. But, you know, you're going to have some recovery powers. That being said, I mean, you don't want to just start whipping that thing around, you know, like you're waving a green flag at NASCAR. But, you know, maybe, you know, just wincing a little bit as you raise that arm up. But, you know, then finally, you know, it kind of unhinges and it is what it is. So,
yeah.
You know, you got to protect the business or at least respect the business a little bit in that regard. But that being said, there are some liberties taken during a celebration, no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's ever an excuse not to, it's when your gimmick is to, you know, do the arm movement when you're chanting yes, when that's your whole gimmick.
And but that's when that adrenaline kind of kicks in.
Yeah.
The endorphins. So seemingly, you know, you're not crapping on what just happened or trying to, you know, demean it. It's still there, but that's when the emotions take over and you're able to go ahead and function. And, hey, really, that's kind of when you let the people off the hook to a degree. Okay, let's celebrate this and have a little bit of fun.
Yeah. Yep. That makes sense. Michael Smith from Stormville, New York, says, huge fan of all you guys work at the Torch and a huge fan of Steve Austin as well. I've heard that Steve might have Undertaker on his podcast in the coming weeks. Is this rumor true? If it is, what on earth is he going to do to prepare for that interview, and how much does he expect to get out of Taker as far as the decision with Lesnar goes?
Well, you know, I went up to Undertaker and first of all just said hello. I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for that guy. And been down the road with him for a lot of miles, not traveling together, just, you know, in the business. And so I told him, I just walked up to him and said, hey, man, this is probably not the best time to ask this, but I do a podcast. I'd like to know if you wouldn't mind being a guest. And he looked at me and said, sure. So when that's going to happen, I have no idea, because right now I'm in Los Angeles. And when I talk with Undertaker, I'm going to drive down to Austin and have a face-to-face conversation with him so we can really do the interview some justice. And it'll take a lot of researching, because as much as I know about Taker, you know, there's, you know, as you know, Wade, you got to do your research. So I want to do my due diligence. And when I'm able to get down to my ranch in Texas, then I'll make the trip up to Austin if he'll welcome me in his house. Mm. And that's when I'll do the interview. But again, it's on his terms. I was happy enough that he said yes, but it's going to be, I can't give you a date because I don't know when that's going to happen. It might be 2 weeks, it might be 6 weeks, it might be 10 weeks. All yeah. I know is the man said he'd talk to me, and I'll leave it like that.
Excellent. That's going to be a big show. You still having a blast doing your podcast, by the way, and being the interviewer instead of the interviewee?
You know, it is. It's fun, Wade, but, you know, I was out there doing my – I did a reality show called Broken Skull Challenge for Country Music Television. It's going to premiere on July 6th for CMT. And when I was out there, man, we're pretty much working. You know, I get up at the crack of dawn, get my workout in, take Hershey for a hike, and then I've got to do my work all day and do the show. So I didn't get a chance to really talk to anybody for several weeks, and I'm thankful enough that the wrestling fans are so damn tremendous they can send all their questions – to my email address, and I can just sit there and answer questions. But believe me, I get bored talking to myself, with myself, for myself, and love the interaction of talking to people. So I'm having a blast with it, to answer your question. I like doing interviews, and yeah, being on asking, and it just, you know, it's not really so much an interview, Wade, more like a conversation.
Yeah. That's how I felt when I was on your show last November. But you're good at it, you know, and I'm not surprised by it. And you're taking it seriously. You take it as seriously as you did your wrestling career.
Man, yeah, if you're going to do something, you want to do it to the best of your ability. That being said, you know, that's just like going out to the squared circle, man. Sometimes you're going to hit a grand slam. Sometimes you're going to hit a double. And, you know, sometimes you might even strike out. So it is what it is. But you're always swinging for the fence anytime you turn on the microphone, just like you do with your show.
Sticking with the Undertaker theme, VIP member Jason from Florida says, I was listening to Steve's podcast with Big Show yesterday. They were both in complete agreement about how much they hated the idea of the streak potentially ending. Obviously, this was recorded weeks ago. They discussed how important the legacy of the streak is and what an important figure Mark Calaway is on and off camera. Steve even so much as said that he would not respect the guy who even considered the idea of being the guy who ended it. So now that all is said and done, what was Steve's first reaction when he watched Brockman take a run Sunday? Has his opinion changed in any way since Sunday? And if Steve had the book, what would he have done with Brock next? A lot of questions there, Steve. But, yeah, it's interesting. I was in the same camp as you. I was very against anybody winning streak. I thought it would backfire on them if they ended Taker's streak. And but I'm at peace with what happened on Sunday. I think it's maybe about the only scenario I can imagine where, you know, stuff that's kind of behind the scenes along with what Paul Heyman was able to turn that into on Monday, it was able to turn into something I could accept and be at peace with.
Well, I mean, I was in the production truck. I was getting ready to head back to the hotel. And soon I found out that it was Brock and Taker. I had to see that match. So I watched it there in the truck with Kevin Dunn while he was calling all the angles. And it was, a very hard-fought match. And when, you know, Brock went over, that crowd, jaws dropped.
Yeah.
And just people could not believe it. Hell, I couldn't believe it. And I was like, that was the finish, really? And, you know, I guess.
So you didn't know going in.
I didn't know the finish going into it.
Yeah.
Nobody told me, and I didn't ask because I didn't want to know. I wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
And it shocked me because I just wanted Taker to go 22-0. It's just so special. And Brock is a damn good friend of mine. Excuse the language. Brock is a very good friend of mine. So
you can say damn on the show.
The fact that he got the win is fine with me. And I didn't get a chance to see the Paul Heyman interview on Monday, but I heard it was just pure platinum.
Yeah.
So if anybody was going to break the streak, I'm glad it was Brock. Some people had a few issues saying, well, he's not a full-timer. Well, it is what it is. And I think, you know, if this was on Taker's end, it was a thing where he wanted, I'm guessing, I'm not putting words in his mouth, and maybe I'll find out when I talk to him, but hey, at the end of his run, or maybe, you know, he wanted to just pass the torch rather than just stay 22-0 and then ride off in the sunset. He wanted to do, quote unquote, the right thing and pass the torch.
Steve, you get asked a lot about Hulk Hogan and what, you know, when are you going to face him or why didn't you face him? And Undertaker, obviously, is in as much as he exposes himself to people who are going to bug him about that kind of thing throughout the year. He gets asked all the time since the streak became a big deal, you know, who's going to be your opponent next year? You know, are you going to keep doing it? When I had Paul Bearer on this show in August of 2012 and December 2012, just a few weeks before he died, actually, he talked about how, you know, just, yeah, Undertaker gets asked that all the time, and I try not to bug him too much about it, but it's always on his mind. I wondered, and this is part of many reasons I wrote about in the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter this week about it, one of the reasons I'm at peace with that finish is because I think Undertaker now, if he can't wrestle again physically, and he's been through so much physically, he doesn't now have to figure out on Monday morning when he wakes up after, you know, with the streak over, he doesn't have to sit here and deal with the PR aspect of how am I going to say I'm not going to, quote, defend the streak next year. He doesn't have to worry about maybe trying to do it one more time and put his body through what it took for him to get in ring shape again. He gets to wake up and have that burden off his shoulders. It was like Matt Hughes when he first lost the welterweight title. Said right afterwards in the octagon, it's a relief. I'm not sad. It's a lot of pressure. That's part of the reason I'm at peace with it, because I think it's kind of potentially at this point, not knowing Mark's perspective, Mark Calaway, Undertaker's perspective on it, it might be a little selfish of us to say we wanted the streak to go on, because if Mark wanted it to end, that's the right ending to the streak.
Well, again, I think, you know, the key there is if Mark wanted it to end. And I certainly don't think Mark did anything he didn't want to do.
Exactly.
Have to.
Yeah.
I'm at peace with it either way, just because, you know, I'm from the business, and it shocked me. And I wanted to see this streak stay intact. I didn't look at, you know, the angle of, hey, Taker always waking up and saying who's going to have to defend the streak against. I just thought, hey, it's pro wrestling to me. I'm still a pro wrestler, but I'm still a fan as well. So, you know, I didn't go into that much as that deep of thinking. I just wanted to see Taker go over.
What would you do as a fan? You say you watch wrestling as a fan. Also, what would you like to see at the Fan happen with Brock Lesnar next? And how would you utilize whatever power got passed to Lesnar by being the person who pinned Taker? How would you utilize that to make the most out of it?
Well, it was a very special win to break that streak. And I would heat Brock up to just be a pure monster, run through everybody on the roster until next year, and then see what happens at WrestleMania and see who they want to put in position to be the next guy and have those two guys go head-to-head. Now, there's a few names that we could obviously start throwing up, but I'd rather not do that. So we're just talking specifically about Brock Lesnar. I'd heat his ass up and just keep him an animal. I'd actually see if I could get a few more dates out of him. I might pay him a little bit more money, but make him a little bit more regular on TV and just put a ton of steam on him. And Paul Heyman has been cutting some damn good promos. And, Brock just – when Brock was walking down the ramp the other day, it damn near scared the hell out of me. Boy, you talk about menacing and tough, everything that a heel wants to be. So I would heat him up and just have him run through everybody like a hot knife through butter.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I want to make one more note sponsor-wise, and that is that Pro Wrestling Torch sponsors the PW Torch Livecast. And if you are not a VIP member, pwtorch.com. Back to questions. And now, Steve, let's go to the phone lines and go to a VIP member, Carl, from Alaska, Minnesota. Carl, thanks for your membership, and welcome to the show. You're on with Steve Austin.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. What have you got for Steve today?
My first question for Steve is, if you were to come back for WrestleMania 31 or 32, hypothetically, who would you rather work with, John Cena or hypothetically if CM Punk came back? Who do you think would be a better program? And obviously, I'd love to see the dynamics of you and Heyman doing promos would be magnificent. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you guys have history together. I was wondering what your opinion on that was.
Man, I tell you what, I think that's six and one and a half dozen the other. Both of them, it'd really be 50-50. The big word there is if. And I'm not selling the match, but I think I could knock a grand slam out of the park with either guy, and that's the truth.
Have you ruled out a return? I mean, I'm not saying put percentages on it, but is there a chance that you still consider the possibility?
Yeah, maybe. That's not as far as I'd go. I'm pretty much past it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, very good. Let's go to our next call, area code 570. This is a VIP member, Larry from Pennsylvania on the VIP Express line. Larry, thanks for calling. What have you got for Steve Austin today?
All right. Thanks a lot, Lee. Actually, I just listened to your interview on Stone Cold's podcast today, too. So I just found that podcast, Steve, and I'm really enjoying it a lot, man.
Do you love wrestling? Are you in or around New Orleans during WrestleMania weekend? Then come check out Ring Rust Radio Live from the Hilton Garden Inn New Orleans Convention Center on Saturday, April 7th from 2 to 4 p.m. local time. Tickets are only $10 and available on PayPal via ringrustradio@gmail.com or on patreon.com/ringrustradio. Don't miss the boys of Ring Rust Radio.
Steve, real quick, Larry, hold on. Steve, plug where people can find it. I assume people know where it is if they're listening to this show, but tell people how they can find it and about the two versions.
Yeah, there's two versions of the Steve Austin Show. The family-friendly show drops on Tuesday. Steve Austin Show Unleashed, which is explicit content. Language-wise, it's everything but the kitchen sink. They're both free downloads. You download them for free. And you can go to podcastone.com and iTunes. And I'm under the Sports and Recreation Department under iTunes. So Tuesday and Thursday, one family-friendly that you can listen to with your kids. The other one, Off the Charts. With the language, and Tuesday, Thursday, podcastone.com and iTunes. Thank you.
And Michael Hayes just went up. Was it just today, Steve? I know I hit refresh and saw it.
Just went up today. Well, they actually used to go out about midnight the night before. So I talked to Michael Hayes, the Freebirds, and talk a little bit about WrestleMania 30. I was going to do a WrestleMania 30 show, and I'm going to do that for this coming Tuesday. I didn't get a chance to see the entire card, so Kevin Dunn sent me a DVD. I'll rewatch everything and do my WrestleMania 30 show this coming Tuesday.
Cool. Go ahead, Larry. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that was a great interview with Wade, by the way. Man, I appreciate everything you do, Wade. That was awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Stone Cold, how long did it – now, obviously, in-ring, you're great on the mic and stuff, but when you started podcasting, was it hard to adjust to that?
Yeah, it is a little bit hard because all of a sudden you just sitting there with a microphone in your in front of you, and it's like, well, okay, what the hell are you going to say? The first time I attempted a podcast, it was kind of my test run, and I hit the wall in about 10 minutes, and I didn't know whether to crap or wind my watch. So then I started taking a few notes and then started started the interview process, and some of those interviews were a little bit on the rough side. So now I know to do my due diligence, my research, and anytime, you know, if it's just me talking, answering questions, I picked out all those questions ahead of time. I've got a little bit of material written down in front of me, and sometimes I just turn on the mic and just start talking. But it does take a while, and I think Wade can attest to this. Anything you do, and I think this goes with anything in life, on-the-job training and repetition are key. So the more you do it, the better you get at it. That being said, I'm not saying I'm the best there is or a pro at this, because when you go to some of these radio stations and watch some of these guys that have been doing this for 20, 25 years, they're badass. But my message is what it is, and that's what people expect out of my podcast, and that's what they get. Audio will pass, delivered to them right in the damn ear.
Very good, Larry. Anything else for Steve?
I just listened to the RV one that you had, where your wife had all the blankets and stuff, and you had to go to Walmart and get a sleeping bag. I guess my question is, how hard is it for you to go out in public? I mean, I think in that episode you said your wife went into Walmart for you. Is it really tough for you to just go out there in public and go to a store and stuff like that without being harassed and stuff?
Well, and in Los Angeles, I can pretty much go anywhere and not really get bothered. Now, you go to South Texas and to a Walmart, you know, it'd be like Michael Jackson walking into a place. So it all depends. You know, back in the day when I was on Monday Night Raw every single week and we were doing, you know, stupid ratings, it was pretty crazy. Things have simmered down a little bit. The more exposure you have, the easier it is for people to recognize you. That being said, man, I wear camo, baseball caps, sunglasses. I'm only, 6'1", 6'2", 260, so I can blend in pretty good. Whereas, you know, you look at Hulk Hogan, you look at The Rock, two big, good-looking guys that are, very unique. I can blend in a little bit better than they can.
Cool. Larry, appreciate the call and the questions.
Yes, thanks a lot, guys. Thank you, Steve.
You bet. Let's go to another VIP member, also named Larry, but over in Atlanta. Larry, welcome to the program. You're on with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Hey, cool. Thanks. Thanks, Wade.
Yeah.
So I had two questions. Hopefully I'm not getting in trouble for the first one, but I've been wondering about this question. One on Stone Cold's personal life, two on his career. I guess one thing I was disappointed about was kind of the domestic incidents that Steve had. I guess I'm kind of wondering what he's learned from those situations, if it's anything that he has sort of been self-reflective about, because I figure there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I'm not even sure if Steve would be willing to talk about what exactly went down, the nature of what went down.
This really isn't a place to talk about something like that. Go ahead and go to the next question.
Okay, go ahead, Larry. I put you on hold because I wanted Steve to be able to answer that. Go ahead, Larry.
Sure. All right, no problem. Well, that's understandable. The second question, though, career-wise, is, you had a great run as Stunning Steve in WCW, and then when you came in as the ringmaster, kind of like you were talking about with your early podcast days, you kind of hit that wall as far as what you could do career-wise, as far as the mobility that you could have to move upward. What do you feel like you learned that really made you more comfortable and more able to break out and kind of tap into your real personality?
Well, that was Stone Cold Steve Austin. All I'd do is go out there and turn the volume up and be aggressive in nature as far as in regards to competition, fighting for a spot on that roster. Someone tells you you're going to come in and be the ringmaster, it's kind of hard to wrap your head and your heart around that and be that, the master of the ring. It sounded pretty good when Vince was pitching it because I needed a job. But once you get out there and start doing it, it sounds like crap. So, it's finding the right thing, dialing it in, and then going for it.
Do you think that the Stunning Steve character, kind of where your experience level and your head was at the time, do you feel like that was a good enough vehicle to kind of reflect your personality at the time? You know, maybe not as ideal as Stone Cold, but, you know, something along those lines as you were getting started?
I think Stunning Steve Austin was a guy who was trying to emulate a lot of what Ric Flair did. And, of course, we all know that there's only one Ric Flair, and that style wasn't or me trying to go down that road wasn't what was going to take me to the top. But maybe it was my rendition of my version of a vein of Ric Flair, because he was very influential and, in my opinion, the greatest professional wrestler that's ever lived.
We have an email question we got that I just pulled up. I remembered about the Ringmaster gimmick. This is Jose from Oxnard, California. He says, Austin says that the Ringmaster wasn't for him. Who does he think would have taken that character and made a good run with it? I was thinking somebody like Shane Douglas. Swig a beer for the working man.
Someone who would have been a lot better technical wrestler than me, scientific, maybe, yeah. would have been good at that. But that being said, you know, the Ringmaster, it is what it is. I don't see a bunch of merch flying off the shelf.
yeah, well put. All right, let's go to another VIP member, Brian from Minnesota, in the 952. Brian, how's it going?
It's going good, guys. Steve, you said you were inside the truck at WrestleMania 30. I have a question about the graphic coming up that said 21-1. Was that someone in the truck saying that to go up and then pull it down to bring on the effect and the shock longer, or was that just a mistake, if you know?
I have no idea about that. I was just sitting there drinking a beer and watching the show, and so when I saw it come up, I wasn't paying any attention to it. I was trying to listen to the commentary. I don't know whether it was a mistake or what the plan was for that at all.
Okay. Also, I was curious, how did you get involved and when with WrestleMania 30? How was it pitched to you and by whom, if you feel comfortable in saying, to take part in WrestleMania 30?
There's a few people that that approached me about it and then talked to me about the opening deal with the two guys that I'm doing business with. And so, you know, I knew probably, I don't know, two and a half, 3 weeks before the event happened that I would be there.
Was there any consideration of any fourth person being in that mix? I can't think of one person who absolutely belongs on the stage with you three, but was there any consideration with whether it was Bruno or Sean or Flair, anybody else being in there with you?
No, it was always pitched. The only way it was pitched to me was with Hogan, Rock, and myself.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense. I mean, that was a unique opportunity in that crowd with Hulk finally being back and not as an active wrestler. It's just, yeah, I mean, had you three ever been in the same room together? I don't know if there's an obvious yes or no to that. I can't remember.
Well, you know, I can't remember if we have or not. Maybe when Hogan and Nash and Scott Hall came in, we might have been, but not like that. It was funny because we was at the gorilla position, you know, the holding area right before everybody goes out, and we were laughing, and Hogan was going to talk, I was going to talk, Rock was going to talk. But other than that, I mean, you know, people just kind of, we just kind of said what we were going to say, and all of a sudden we're back here and we're laughing and joking. And I think Hogan was very excited about being back in the mix and being back home, because I think the WWE is his home. He had so much to do with the early days of it, and was just such an important part of pro wrestling. And then he went out there, did his thing, and he called it the Silver Dome. So, I don't hear very well, so it was brought to my attention, and we were back there laughing our asses off, so I called it the Silver Dome, too, and left it to Rock to correct it with the Super Dome. So it was all, it was very fun, it was very loose, and a lot of adrenaline back there, and we all three had a damn good time. It was a pleasure to be in the ring with those two guys. So I really, really look up to both of them.
Somebody asked, I was trying to find his email to give him credit, but somebody had asked by email, if Hogan knew the line was coming, do you want me to open a can of whoop-ass on Hulk Hogan? Did he know that was coming, or was that one of the improvises in the moment?
No, I was totally done in the moment. I had to say something because I knew I was going to put him over and say, you know, because people thought, you know, all through our careers, people thought there's been a lot of heat between myself and Hogan. There's never been any heat. It's a very competitive issue. You know, he had a very long run. I had a very intense, shorter run. So both runs were very distinct and very different.
Yeah.
But when you're caught up in the mix, it's kind of like asking LeBron James how good Kevin Durant's doing right now. He's going to put him over a little bit, but not like, you know, because he's in the game. And so, you know, I never did have a bunch of glowing things to say about Hogan back then. And probably for the same token to him either. We're competitive guys. And now that I've been away from the game for a long time, I got no problem. And I wanted to show my respects to Hogan and make sure that everybody know that there's no animosity, no heat there. I got a lot of respect for what that guy did. But, yes, that was a total ad-lib. He didn't know what was coming. And I put him on the hook, and then I let him off the hook just because that's what you do out there.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, credit for that question just is from Adam. I want to give him a shout out. He Adam also wants to know, Steve, have you tried to get Vince McMahon on the Steve Austin show? And if not, is there any chance? That would be amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to have Vince on the show here pretty quick. I mean, not pretty quick, but yeah, in the near future, I would like to. He's already agreed to do the show. It's just about finding the right time and place.
Yeah. Cool. Excellent. That'll be great.
At WrestleMania 30, I saw Vince plenty, but he's so damn busy on a WrestleMania that is not a good time to ask a man for an hour of his time.
No. Yeah, I feel the same way around WrestleMania weekend with my job. I can only imagine Vince. Can only imagine that.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here because Saturday nights on the live cast are officially all right for diving.
All right, let's keep going through the phone calls here. Let's go next to air code 319. 319, please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Andrew from Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Andrew, thanks for calling. What have you got for Stone Cold Steve Austin today?
Yeah, this is an honor to talk to you, Steve. And Wade, I was checking stuff on Amazon, so you caught me at the wrong time. But my question is, I assume that you worked with Vince Russo in the Attitude Era. How much credit do you give him for your character? And when he went to WCW, like, how did you feel about that?
Steve, thoughts on Vince Russo?
Yeah, as far as Vince Russo goes, as far as my character, that was me. As far as did he help, oh, he's tremendous. I had a lot of fun working with Vince Russo. He had some great ideas. And sometimes you had to reel Vince Russo in a little bit. But he was certainly ready to push the envelope and had a lot of great ideas. And, I take all the credit, but I give credit where credit's due. Vince Russo had some good ideas, and I enjoyed working with him. And what was the WCW question?
How'd you feel when he left?
That's the wrestling business. And, you know, when he went down to WCW, I don't think he was as successful as he was in WWE. I think he had a good mind, but sometimes, you know, left to his own devices would go too far. And some of the ideas weren't so great. So I think within the confines, with someone to keep him reeled in, very good. But left to his own devices, maybe not as good as he was in WWE.
Very good. Well put. Let's go to area code 864, South Carolina. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Yes, this is Charles Sitton from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Charles, what have you got for Stone Cold?
All right, I've got two quick questions. What movie projects are you currently working on? And if you could play any role, what would it be?
Man, I scratched a couple of things that I was working on, and right now I'm just trying to cool my jets a little bit. I just got finished shooting that, like I said, that show for CMT, so nothing right now in the movie works. And as far as playing any role, man, I don't know. That's a damn good question, a question I don't have an answer to. You know what? Hell, if I could go back and be Paul Newman and Cool Hand Luke, that'd be a pretty good spot.
So let me jump in real quick, Charles, and you can hold on. Somebody had emailed and wanted to know when you're going to do a buddy flick with The Rock, if anything like that has been talked about you and Rock doing a movie together.
Well, I get asked that all the time, and I'm sure The Rock does as well. Rock's playing up there in the big leagues, so, you know, that'd be more of a question to ask The Rock.
Well, hopefully I get a chance. That'd be fun. Have him on
there
the show.
There you go.
Go ahead, Charles.
All right, and real quickly, the video is kind of old now, but I wanted to know, did you ever see the YouTube video with Stone Cold ET, and what were your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I saw it. I thought it was pretty funny, and it went viral, but, you know, and it was real funny, but, you know, that's all I can say about it. I mean, it was what it was.
All right, very good. Charles, appreciate the call. We'll keep moving through calls here. So many people on hold. Let's go to Massachusetts next. Area code 978. Please let us know your name and what city you're calling from. 978. Going once, going twice. There we go.
Stone Cold ET.
All right. Let's go to New York next. Area code 917. 917, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, doing, guys. This is Joe from Long Island, New York.
Joe, thanks for calling. What have you got for Stone Cold?
More or less a comment and a question. I was just looking on Facebook, and DDP actually just posted an apology for that crap they did on Nancy Grace yesterday, where the media just loves to blame steroids on everything that happens. You're lollygagging around, going to the school bus, break your ankle, it's because I was taking steroids. And one of the videos that they showed on her show was a capture of, like, all these wrestlers who had passed away from steroids, and one of the wrestlers on the video was Owen Hart.
Yeah.
And I just felt it was absolutely disgusting and irresponsible for her to even have her video on a television show just show stupid stuff like that, man. It's absolutely disgusting. You know, learn, you know, knowledge yourself on the fact. You know, wait for the autopsy reports to come out, and everything they do today is now blamed on steroids. It just pisses me off. And my question for Steve, if he had to have a one-off shoot dream match at WrestleMania in his prime against anyone that's ever lived in wrestling, who would he want a main event in WrestleMania?
Man, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Since my favorite pro wrestler was Ric Flair, if you could have put Ric Flair at 35 versus Stone Cold Steve Austin at 35, I think you'd have a hell of a damn match.
What arena?
Oh man, it had to be a stadium. But if we was going to do an arena or you know a regular building, it'd have to be the Chicago Rosemount or Madison Square Garden.
Cool.
Or you could take it down there to Greensboro.
That's what I was thinking.
Down there. Yeah, you got to go down there to Flair Country. I'd be the heel.
I was going to say, just for fun, too, it'd be fun to do it in the Sportatorium following a Von Erich Freebirds match. But are they?
Oh,
following?
Absolutely.
That'd
but that bill is not big enough. But, we might have to take it down there to Greensboro because that is some damn sure wrestling country.
Oh, man. Such great Ric Flair matches there. Absolutely. I want to say to Joe in Long Island, I didn't see the Nancy Grace segment, and I'm sure it's Nancy Grace, so there's plenty of room to pick apart the lack of diligence. I think it's completely fair to bring up steroids at the stage of the argument. Ultimate Warrior was very, very, very open and a proponent of them. He obviously took a lot of them. He admitted and defended taking a lot of them, and he died at age 54 while clutching his chest, according to reports. It would be a derelict of duty for any journalist not to bring up that subject and not to talk about it. You don't have to wait for an autopsy to, in the right context, speak about that possibility. And I think it depends on the tone. And I think the reason people get upset with Nancy Grace is it seems she's kind of that ambulance chasing journalist looking to exploit a situation for a week and then forget about it. And I think that's different than what we do at The Torch, where we've been talking about this for 26 years, consistently, whether it's a glamorous story or not. It's not just a ratings get. And steroids is an issue in wrestling. And when somebody who was a proponent of it admitted to taking them while he was in wrestling and out of them, dies while clutching his chest at age 54 while sweating profusely for 3 days before that, it's fair to talk about it. It's just all about tone and not seeming like you're trying to exploit the situation. Is that fair, Steve?
All right, yeah, I think you're headed down the right track here, Wade. But to the other person's point, I saw that scrolling list and saw Owen Hart's name on it. I mean,
yep.
If you're going to do something, get your stuff straight. I also heard another thing from Colin Hurd talking about a bunch of guys who weren't good enough to make it in football, and they can eke out a living, maybe make some damn good money by getting into pro wrestling. Basically, looking down on the industry as a bunch of guys who aren't good enough to play pro football, so they decide to get in a squared circle and use steroids. So I thought his whole tone and delivery was way off course and totally disrespectful. You know, I tend to think that guy's pretty good at what he does.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and a lot of times I'm right on base with Nancy Grace. That's her name, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Sorry, I'm on Factory. So, yeah, many times I'm on base with what she says. But, yeah, and like you said, Wade, yeah, you can damn sure bring in steroids. But, again, you know, show me the damn autopsy. And there's no denying that he used the stuff. But to your point, it's the tone.
Yeah, yeah. And it just doesn't look like you're just trying to go out there and just draw ratings by being as bombastic and right. jump into conclusions as possible. Well, one more question on the steroid issue, and then we'll go on from there. Steve, I don't know. Have you went with other colleagues over the years ever just sitting down before, after the matches in the locker room? Is it something that wrestlers talk about with each other in terms of not just steroids but supplements? Just like trying to be healthy while doing what helps you in your career, keep up with everybody else and what they're doing. Have you ever had buddies or friends or people you respected in wrestling, younger, older, come up to you or talk to them about, you know, what are we doing? Are we being safe? Are we worried about the long-term ramifications? Are we worried about how much you can get away with taking before it turns into an issue when you are in your 50s, as opposed to living a happy life till your 80s, 90s, or 100s?
Man, I think that's kind of more of a friend type question that you're going to ask somebody that you're pretty tight with, rather than just someone that you don't know and say, hey, let me ask you about your regimen. Friends will always talk, but just guys as far as being colleagues, I mean, that's a pretty close personal matter. And so yeah. I don't know too many people that would share that kind of 411. And certainly I only know what the parameters of the wellness policy or whatever's in place is right now. So that's a pretty private matter for a lot of guys, you know, whether you're talking about anything in regards to their personal business. That's a pretty closed subject.
Yeah, so if fans out there have this idea that some rookie shows up and is able to just walk up to a 10-year veteran and go, hey, what should I be on? What supplements are good? Do you have a place where I can get some, you know, a doctor who'll get me some, you know, legal testosterone? That's it doesn't go like that at all.
No, man. I mean, yeah again, you know, everything is, that's a pretty private matter.
Yeah, yeah.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Go to New Jersey next in area code 609. Thanks for calling 609. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Wow, thank you, Wade. This is Lewis from New Jersey. Thank you, Wade, for taking my call because I tried to call in last time, like 15 minutes before the show, and I didn't get in. But, yeah, Stone Cold, big fan of yours. I got three questions, but don't worry, they're pretty quick.
Okay.
All right, my first question, just ask them all at once, Wade? Or one?
I'll go ahead and ask them all at once, and I'll take quick notes so we keep track of them.
Sure, definitely. All right. Well, I actually missed the opportunity to actually, like, meet you because I was on the same plane that you were in, but you were in first class, and I was making my way to the back, but the plane wasn't packed at all, and I was, like, in a tug-of-war with myself, Steve, because I was saying to myself, wow, like, should I approach him? I'm a smart mark, but if I approach him, I'm scared that he's going to give me some type of treatment. He's going to think I'm like a casual mark, so I have no idea how to do it, and I just missed my opportunity. So can you educate both the smart marks and the casual marks on how you would like them to approach you if they just want to have like a casual conversation with you? Next, I hope you took that down, Wade. Also, I just want to know, because of the fact that your character has been, I mean, your actual Steve Williams personality, or because you said that your character was more of a intense version of yourself, since the toned-down version has been exposed so much on TV, if you did have a program with somebody, how would you want to portray your character now that there's been so much exposure? And last but not least, I have to know, are you... I know that you're catchphrase was don't trust anybody, but were you a loner? Because I'm a loner too, but I'm a loner because I enjoy my alone time. But I want to know, what do you think in your past made you a loner? Was it backstabbings? Was it like, you know, anything? Was it because you just learned how to enjoy your own company? Like, what was it? And that's pretty much it.
All right, Lewis, thanks.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, Steve, what's advice for how fans should approach wrestlers in public if they should, and under what circumstances is it okay, and when is it definitely not?
Man, I'll tell you what, that's a hit or miss type thing. I mean, because, man, I'm in the entertainment business. I always want to be nice to everybody, and I appreciate anybody that's able to help me make a living. And for the most part, man, I'm about 98% always on. But every now and then, man, I have a real bad day or I have had some bad news just like anybody else has, and it's not such a great time. But at the very least, I can say, hey, man, just say, hey, Steve, big fan, and what if I can get your autograph? Or, hey, Steve, big fan, just want to say I like what you do. Or, you know, it's okay to approach people, but kind of read them a little bit because you can tell somebody, some people, you know, obviously by body language, they don't want to be bothered. I never try to use that body language. But again, man, all the guys and gals out there or anybody in show business is a human being. And it's just like when you have a real bad day and you really don't want anybody to come up to you and bother you. It's one of those things. But I always try to, I like to think I'm about 98% user friendly.
How about the idea that people have gotten to know you and not your character? Would that change the way you would portray your character? My take is you're the real you is so damn close to Stone Cold that I don't know that would even cross your mind to be an issue these days.
It doesn't cross my mind to be an issue at all. I think it would enhance everything because people actually know
yeah.
I have a sense of humor and am a regular guy. But all of a sudden, you know, that's one of the things I was talking about Jerry Lawler the other day. One thing I enjoyed so much about Lawler's work was you could get him revved up at a red-hot angle, but he could start, you know, at 500 RPMs and get all the way to 8,000 RPMs, just even at the height of an angle. So, you know, there's those ranges, there's those levels. And so, yeah, it would only it'd give me more material to work with, actually.
Yeah, yeah. People have gotten to know you. And
just because of the fact that I like to lollygag around, have a few beers, and laugh my ass off all day doesn't mean you can't get me madder and horned and ready to fight. And if we got a championship belt on the line and some personal issues, we're going to ring up the cash register.
Yep. And finally, you talk about liking your alone time, being a loner. Do you psychoanalyze? Do you know why you are the way you are?
No, man, I've just always been like that. Maybe I was shy as a kid, but, you know, now, you know, being Stone Cold, being around, you know, thousands and thousands of people and entertaining people, man, left my own devices, I'm happy as a lark. It's like when I go to do my reality television show, whether it's Redneck Island or Broken Skull Challenge, man, I'm around 100 people all day long for a month or two. And it's fun as hell. I'm laughing. We're having a good time. But when it's time to go home, and I just got a Hershey the Wonder Dog out there with me, we're going on our 2-mile hike. I love being by myself. And sometimes I think about all kinds of stuff. Sometimes I don't think about anything. I listen to country music or some rock and roll if I want to try to think of something. I enjoy being alone. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I enjoy being alone. Then again, I enjoy people too. So it's just part of my personality, I guess.
Let's go next to 804. This is Virginia. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Yes, how you doing? This is Wayne, VIP member, North Chesterfield, Virginia. How you doing, Wade?
Doing good. Thanks for being on. What have you got for Stone Cold today?
All right. First, I just want to say it's an honor to be talking to you, Steve Austin. I'm a longtime fan, and I just want to say thank you for all of your contributions in the wrestling business for all these years. I just want to say thank you for the entertaining moments.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. I had a good time doing it. Best job I ever had.
All right. I do have a question. I'm not sure if this has been asked already, but out of all the many matches that you've had over the years, is there one or more wrestlers that you, you know, always wanted to face but never got the opportunity to do so? And if so, who would those be?
And I always, you know, superstar Billy Graham, Dusty Rhodes, two guys you could talk of, Blue Streak, Nikita Koloff, Magnum TA, man with a hand of stone, Ronnie Garvin, just a couple of guys just to pick out randomly. Ole Anderson, even Arn Anderson. I wrestled Arn a couple times in Japan and some other places, but, you know, never when I was in really stone cold mode. But a lot of respect for the Andersons, Ole and Arn. Tully Blanchard. You know, guys, some of those guys would have been fun to work with.
Very good. Let's squeeze in a last few phone calls here in the final minutes on the free part of the live cast here. By the way, you can find us every member a week where so many things, good and bad and in the middle, happened in such a concentrated period of time that it was just one thing after another. By the time the Hall of Fame happened, I thought, well, that's going to be the biggest thing for a week. And now it seems like a distant memory with everything that happened since.
It's been a whirlwind, man. And I'm looking forward to just, again, I got the DVD from WWE to watch WrestleMania 30, and I watched a lot of the stuff while I was there, but now to get a chance to go back through it in detail and just enjoy the event for what it was.
Yeah.
But the death of a warrior, God dang, I mean, you never, ever want to hear about anybody dying, but someone that, you know, in the business, and the fact that they just, you know, buried the hatchet and come together, and everything was going to be fine. And for that guy to walk across the parking lot with his wife and just keel over and die, just a terrible thing.
It is. And those two daughters, I mean, for him to introduce, you know, a lot of people keep their family private and they like to be private. You're one of those people. And then there's some people who you know, like Ultimate Warrior, who's like, hey, I'm going to bring my daughters out here and my wife and my mom, and I want to tell them what I think about them. And I just think the fact that we get that Jim Helwig Warrior gets to have people remember him as a father and a son and a husband the way that he did, I think is something that, for as tragic and horrible and sad as his dying on Tuesday was, there's the little bit of positive in there is I think he got to show people the different side of him than what a lot of people saw in between his you know, after his wrestling career and before his Hall of Fame speech. And like you said, he got to make amends behind the scenes too. It's, you know, it's way too soon, but I think it's a positive that it happened after and not before this weekend. I'll put it that way.
You know, he made amends with the brass and signed the deal with the higher ups at WWE. And I don't think that, you know, he made amends with all the boys, because I'm sure some of the guys are still had an axe to grind against him. Nonetheless, when one of the boys goes down, when anybody goes down, it's not good. And, you know, I really felt for that guy. Really was touched by his family.
Let's take two more quick calls, and then we'll sign off on the live show and give the VIP members a little something extra with a couple topics, including Daniel Bryan and CM Punk with Steve Austin after the music. But let's go to Missouri first, area code 314. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Damien from St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, Damien, go real quick, because we got a bad connection with you. Just windy.
Okay,
I just want to say it's an honor to be talking to one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, Stone Cold. Oh, hell yeah. With that being said, do you think now, of course, everybody knows the classic feud you had with Vince McMahon, and I believe that the stuff going on with Daniel Bryan and the Authority today is almost like, I wouldn't say a carbon copy, but it's pretty much influenced by the stuff you did with Vince. Do you think that the well has run dry with having the heel Authority figure going against the babyface wrestler? I just want to get your thoughts on that, Steve. That's
cool.
All I have.
Thanks, Damien.
Well, man, I mean, it's almost like watching a movie, because it's hard to have an original movie anymore, because they all borrow from the one before it. And so same with the game of pro wrestling. You know, a lot of the storylines are just rehashed with different people playing those parts. So, I don't know if the well has run dry. It's just all in the creativity and, how it's executed on TV. And, you know, you have, I don't know, I think in a situation like that, if that's what they're doing, loosen up the script a little bit so there can be that spontaneity where that seemingly anything can happen, and it will stay fresh and will stay effective as a storyline.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts. And there's never been a more perfect dynamic than you and Vince McMahon. It wasn't like, well, that's a good idea, but let's improve upon it. There wasn't room for improvement. You know, you had Vince McMahon as an announcer, a babyface, you know, conscious of the promotion, you know, cheerleader type guy for, you know, 15, 20, 30 years on television, however long it was at the point that at which he turned heel. And then your character, you know, the working man against the arrogant boss. It just... It's one of those things where you're just doomed to fail trying to copy it. And that's part of, the, I think, the reason it's one of those angles we maybe have seen enough, at least for a while, until that next good, you know, perfect circumstance comes around. Although Stephanie and Hunter have had their moments of being really effective in that kind of arrogant, aristocratic, you know, look down at the fans type characters. I mean, they play those roles well, and certainly Daniel Bryan is fantastic in his role. So it's kind of fun. Aspects of it are fun, but it is... Part of me just thinks it was never done before you and Vince, Steve, so why does it have to be done every year afterwards?
Well, I tell you, and all the people, you know, Triple H, Steph, and Daniel Bryan, they're all doing a tremendous job, and it's been fun to watch some of the stuff that I've seen. But when you're talking about, you know, Austin versus McMahon, you're talking about two of the hottest characters or hottest personalities of all time at the peak of professional wrestling. And so the stakes had never been higher, and the business had never been hotter. And so they're doing a tremendous job telling the story they're telling right now. It's just hard. It's hard to compete with what we did because it was so damn real, and it was so unscripted, and it was spontaneous. And half the time we knew where we were going. We didn't know how we were going to get there, and it unfolded on television, and you damn sure believed every single bit you saw because that's how it was portrayed. And so that might have given us the edge, but make no mistake about it, it's always an intriguing storyline, and I just look forward to seeing now how they proceed from here with their storyline.
Let's go to our last caller of the day. This will be 978 Massachusetts. Let us know your name and what city you're calling from.
Hi, it's Kevin from Boston.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for calling. What have you got for Stone Cold?
Hi, Steve. I just want to see if you had a chance to get the WWE Network and what you think of it.
Yeah, man. I have not ordered the WWE Network yet. I was just talking to Kevin Dunn the other day because he produces Monday Night Raw, and I was in the truck watching with him, and I just sent him a text message, can you send me a DVD of the show so I can break down the show for my podcast? And he goes, first of all, he said yes, and I have the DVD sitting right in front of me. And then he says, have you tried out the WWE Network yet? When you do, let me know. I haven't tried it out, but it's $9.99 a month. That's $120 a year. That's a hell of a deal. And it includes all of the major pay-per-views, all 12 of them, including WrestleMania. I don't have any experience with it. I've yet to try it. I'm real bad about spending my money. And that's why the Steve Austin show is so great. You download it for free. I'm not on a computer too much time, so I don't know that I'd be able to get my money's worth out of it. And God dang, I'm just a cheap bastard, I guess.
Well, you can get an Apple TV for about $99 and hook it up to your TV and watch it on your TV. So we'll.
Well, you're right about that, but I mean, I just don't. You know, I probably should because I like watching a lot of the matches from back in the day. Wade, next time I come on the show, if I've done the WWE Network yet, I'll do my full review of it on your show.
Sounds good. And World Class, they've got some episodes of World Class from early 80s on there, and that's some of my favorite stuff. I hit refresh and look for the new ones that they put up because there's some shows that predate the show airing in syndication in my area, so it's cool to see that stuff. All right, Kevin, appreciate the call. Any follow-up for Steve, or is that it?
Oh, yeah, just one quick question. Steve,
yeah.
What movie should I watch first, The Package or Damage?
Damage.
All right, cool. Quick plug for pwtorch.com and .com. Steve, we're going to play the music, come back on the other side, and hit you up with a couple rapid-fire topics before you ride off into the sunset.
And more.
Thank you very much. People can follow you on Twitter, too. We can get you a couple Twitter followers. You have like 3 billion.
Hey, you can check me out on Twitter at Steve Austin BSR. The BSR stands for Broken Skull Ranch. Somebody was already had Steve Austin, so I am Steve Austin BSR, and that's the bottom line because I said so.
Thanks, Steve. I really appreciate you taking time, and I know a super busy week for you to be on the show again today.
Yep, you got it. Anytime.
Absolutely. PW, on the other side of the music, a couple quick topics on the VIP After Show with Stone Cold Steve Austin. All right, Steve, we're now in the VIP After Show portion of the program, and I got a question here from a reader. That's one that I wanted to ask, which is, do you think Daniel Bryan is the guy who will, now that he's champion, draw well and sell out shows and draw TV ratings? That's from Cody B. from Iowa. Well, what are your thoughts on Daniel Bryan now that he is the unified champion, the second unified champion since Randy Orton won it in December?
First of all, I'm glad to see Daniel Bryan as the champion. I think it's got to be a tremendous feeling of pride for himself and everything that he's accomplished. You know, he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's not the best-looking guy in the world. He's a hell of a damn worker. He's a unique personality. And I just hope he carries the belt to the best of his ability. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that's what he'll do. Now, whether he maintains ratings, whether he draws houses in the arenas, that is going to be – the proof's going to be in the pudding. So there's no use in even me speculating about that. When the receipts come in, that's what we will know. But I'm proud of him, and I'm happy for him.
I know a lot of people look at the crowd reactions that Daniel Bryan gets and go, that – is enough reason to put the machine behind them and see how far they can ride them. And then there's other people, a wide range of people in the industry, on the outside, who go, you know, look at him. He's getting a crowd reaction, but it's kind of just because it's fun to chant yes, and he's a great hand in the ring, he's got great energy, and, you know, it's the gimmick of Triple H and Steph is a reflection of how people feel about him behind the scenes, which is the crowd reactions are intense, but the only people who really will pay to see him are the people in the buildings, and we need somebody who draws from the mainstream and can represent the brand. How do you feel about those two arguments? Because I haven't seen in a long time a crowd reaction for Daniel Bryan like this. I want to see what they can make out of it. I don't want them to I don't want there to be a sense of we're trying to prove that we were right that he's not a draw. I want the machine behind him to see what he can do, because this crowd reaction to me is unorthodox and worth exploring.
Oh, it's the damnedest crowd reaction I've seen in a long, long time. Really, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it, that yes chant, with everybody pumping their fists like they do. So the fact that he took the title at Mania, they damn right, the machine needs to get behind him 120% and push him to the moon.
Yeah. I'm excited. And as a worker, is there anybody that he reminds you of as a worker in terms of his style and what he brings to the table? And what do you most respect about what he does in the ring as a worker? His offense, his selling, playing to the crowd, his comebacks? Like, from a great worker's perspective, what do you see that is really good or great about Daniel Bryan?
I just like his body of work. Sometimes I see, shades of Japanese style in him, shades of Steve Regal in him, which are, you know, two tremendous styles. Just his mechanic, pretty much, you know, peerless. Everything looks good. Great offense. You know, no gaps. He's a damn good worker. So, you know, I give his work an A+.
Wow. Yeah. Very good. Got a lot of email questions. I'll just kind of summarize them, and it's my question too. Were you thinking, because I don't think you had necessarily, like anybody, had a ton of inside information on what went on with CM Punk, Phil Brooks, and the meeting with Vince McMahon that led him to walking out. Did you think going into WrestleMania that he might show up at WrestleMania? And kind of part two to that is, how do you feel about the way that he left before his contract expired, now that it looks like he probably isn't coming back? It seems like if it was going to happen, it might have happened already.
Well, I predicted on my show, Steve Austin's show, that he was going to come back at WrestleMania, because I really thought, you know, this is just obviously it was just a guess on my part that whatever ill feelings, hard feelings, bad feelings, whatever would be washed away by then, and there'd be a conversation, a handshake, and maybe some agreements made, and he'd be back on the roster and back on the card and at WrestleMania 30. Obviously, it didn't happen that way. But, you know, again, I'd have to, you know, ask CM Punk, you know, to his face or on the phone, you know, exactly what's going on, what are you feeling? I know he was frustrated, you know, around Christmas time, and that's all I know. He didn't show up, you know, because I left for the reasons that I did. And so he might have some of those same feelings, but each me leaving and him leaving are two entirely different things. They're both very specific to what's in my brain or what was in my brain and what's in his brain now. All I know is when you breach your contract, you don't get your royalty money. When you breach your contract, you're pretty well screwed. You can't do anything else. They don't have to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you only have so many bumps, so many years left in your body. You know, this is a 20 by 20 ring. When that's what you're really good at in life, and that's what he's really good at, not to say he's not good at anything else. I just don't know what kind of money he can generate in any other walk of life. Generate as much money as you can now. Make hay while the sun is still shining, then ride off into the sunset. You know, that's my take on it. But, and again, I'm not belittling or criticizing CM Punk. It is what it is. I just know that when I left, the way I did, I regretted it, and I lost a lot of money. But my biggest regret was that was not the right thing to do. That was not the way to handle a situation. I should have showed up in Atlanta, talked to Vince McMahon face-to-face, come to a better conclusion, and had I walked out, still, I would have faced him face-to-face and not just left on an airplane over a phone call. And that's just speaking for myself.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Yeah, and I'm glad you clarified that, because I thought you were just politically getting screwed over with what they wanted to do, and I thought it totally made sense for you to use your clout to say, this doesn't feel right. This feels like there's something else going on here. This is bad for business. This is not the right way to do a match with Brock. Let's do it right. And so I feel like sometimes when you apologize, I felt like, no, I want you to stand up for that, because I think there was some BS going on in terms of why they were wanting to do that when they wanted to do it. But I really respect what you said, which is I should have shown up at the building and gone face-to-face with Vince and been more specific about trying to find a middle ground. And that I can definitely agree. You know, I can definitely see that point of view for sure.
They gave me the courtesy of letting me know in advance, you know, what we were thinking about doing. And 99.9% of the time, it was great. I only made a few modifications. But when I heard that one, it just, you know, like I said, Brock's a good friend of mine. But back then, we all knew Brock was going to be a big star. That wasn't the way to make him. Atlanta in an unadvertised match against Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I'm going to slip him over. That rubbed me the wrong way very quickly.
Yeah.
And I was running up and down the road, making all my shots, drawing money, white hot. And I thought it was reeked of bad business and a real crappy decision. And I responded accordingly. Had they not given me that advance call, I would have just showed up, because I wouldn't have known what was going on. And then we would have had that ultimate face-to-face. And I'll guarantee you that I wouldn't have done the job, but I'd have kept my job by the same token.
Yeah, yeah. Two quick ones, and we'll wrap up, if that's good with you. Mr. T at the Hall of Fame, your reaction. Somebody emailed and wanted to know what you thought sitting through that speech.
Well, you know, Mr. T, I'm sitting right there next to Hulk Hogan watching all that stuff back in, you know, 30 years ago, and I looked over at Hulk and I said, man, some of that stuff you guys did back then was just badass. And it was just, you know, brought back a lot of memories, because I remember watching all that stuff. Okay. And so, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the celebrity wing, but if T's going to go in the celebrity wing, he's a damn good member to go in. As far as the speech itself goes, hey, man, you know, I know the man respects and loves his mother, and I get that. But, you know, when I saw him walk up there and those pages looked to be about an inch thick, I knew he was in for a long ride. And finally, you know, they crashed Kane's music, and Glenn came out there and gave him the hook. So it got a little long-winded, and I thought that they had kind of went through a little rehearsal process where they, you know, kind of tightened people's interviews up, and, man, it just turned into a free-for-all. And I got a lot of respect for Mr. T. I met him at the day of the Hall of Fame, I mean, the WrestleMania, and talked to him. His promo went a little bit long, is my point.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with him respecting his mother and loving his mother, because it sounds like, by all accounts, she did an incredible job, and so did he as a father with what his kids have accomplished.
Was there any sense that the next day he was kind of sheepish about how things went, or was this kind of that was yesterday?
Oh, I didn't notice any, no sheepishness at all. That was yesterday, and he was, you know, that's Mr. T. You know, he's a pretty straight up, and that's the first time I'd ever met the guy, and was very happy to meet him, because I was a big fan of everything that he accomplished, loved, watched him do what he did in the wrestling business, and yesterday was yesterday.
Roman Reigns and Cesaro, two guys who seem to be on the fast track. Do you have your money on both of them, or one of them a lot or a little more than the other in terms of 1, 2, 3 years down the line being good candidates to be headlining some pay-per-views?
I got my money on both guys. Both those guys are big stars. They both have an incredible look. I think, you know, Roman Reigns is part of that Shield. You know, that's a great storyline in and of itself. And the storylines that, you know, that they can use to split him out of that one of these days, how they facilitate that process will be what it is. He's got a great look. He's a damn good worker. Seems like he's got a real good head on his shoulder. I talked to him a little bit. I'm putting my money on him. Antonio Cesaro. Now, did they bust him away from Zeb Coulter and put him with Paul Heyman the other day?
Yeah, although I don't know where that's going, because it seemed like they were turning a babyface, and then Paul Heyman comes out to manage him, and Heyman earlier in the show was getting tons of heel heat for bragging about Lesnar beating Taker. So I'm really curious where that's going. I assume they have a definite path in mind, but I have a hard time believing, Steve, they're going to keep Cesaro with Heyman if the goal is to keep Cesaro babyface. Keep him face, but I don't know if they can turn him heel if he stays with Heyman, if he keeps doing the giant swing, because fans pop for it. So I'm really intrigued. I have no idea where they're going with it.
Well, I'm really intrigued, too, because I saw it go down or heard of it. But, man, that guy, he's an incredible physical specimen. Again, great body. He's supposed to be just an absolutely strong person in the gym. He's a hell of a damn worker. Some of those things that he does, throwing guys up in the air, hitting them with that flipper, I want to see him find. I want to find out who Antonio Cesaro it really is. Whereas when I see and think Roman Reigns, I don't know a whole lot about him, but I kind of get it a little bit more than I do with Antonio Cesaro.
Yeah.
And to your point, I thought, man, the guy is just he's got a great body and he's so talented in the ring. I saw babyface first, then heel. So maybe the heel thing with Heyman might be a little forced or a little bit rushed. But Paulie Dangerously, or Paul Heyman, is pure platinum. So either way it turns out, I was surprised to see them allegedly go heel or heading down the road heel with Antonio Cesaro. But I think the same thing for both guys. 6-1, half dozen the other. I predict very bright futures for both of these young men. And I talked to both of them, and they seem like outstanding people.
That's a big endorsement. Steve, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you taking time today. I know it's such a busy week and a whirlwind week for you. So it was great talking with you, and I appreciate you taking live calls and all those email topics too.
Hey, man, appreciate it, Wade. It was good talking to you the other night. It's always good to talk to you. Let me get on my jets cool and everything. I'd love to have you back on my podcast. Maybe in a couple of days, I'll just call you back and we'll check your schedule, see if you can do it.
This would be great. I'm actually pretty open. I've kind of kept my schedule clear after Mania to just relax a little bit, so talking with you would be a great way to do that.
Okay, man, I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. Thanks, Steve. All right, thanks all the VIP members, too, for joining us today, and thank you for your support of what we do here at VIP. The VIP After Show is one of the ways we try to thank you for your support of what we do. And on that note, I will sign off until next time.
If you like archive shows like this, then you're going to want to be a VIP member, because all of our past podcasts, dating back to early 1990s radio shows, are all archived and available at our ad-free PW Torch VIP website. So we got our sale going on. I mentioned it at the top of the show. Just a reminder that you can go right now to pwtorch.com/govip. This will be the membership that you use more than any other, I predict. There's a lot of ways to buy streaming services and memberships to different things. If you listen to this show and you love this kind of wrestling talk, you're going to want to be a VIP member. We deliver so much for the membership price, and we've got such a great team of contributors. Check it out for $3.40. Kick the tires, as they say. See what it's all about. And come on back if you haven't used a coupon in the last 6 months and see what's new, like Alan Cunahan's Pro Res Paradise that drops every Monday for VIP members with his expert view on Japan, the Europe indie scene, the U.S. indie scene, and some fun other topics, like he's looking back at the Crockett era with a special guest a couple shows ago, and also expanded New Japan coverage overall. If you're into New Japan, you're going to want to check that out. Great flashback-type content, nostalgia content with the Wayback Playback, hosted by Pat McNeil. Our retro radio shows, a new show drops every Thursday. So much to go into. Go check out the whole list, pwtorch.com/govip. When you see the coupon code box, enter 340-LIVECAST, 340-LIVECAST. Thanks for joining us here on the LIVECAST. Oh, by the way, the ads and plugs are edited out of the VIP versions of the LIVECAST and the Wade Keller podcast. So another bonus that comes with being a VIP member, a smooth listening experience without the ads and plugs. All right, that does it for me. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And until tomorrow with the Deep Dive with Rich Fan, who is in New Orleans, covering WrestleMania and the surrounding events and activities. This is Wade Keller signing off. PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free editions of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, also part of a VIP membership, and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, the Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Res Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip. Love.